This podcast is free and it's accessible to everyone thanks to support from listeners like you. If you value this show, please consider supporting its production by donating to our home, KUOW. It only takes a minute to give, and you'll be helping to support the production of this podcast. Make a donation at kuow.org or follow the link in the show notes. And thanks.
Good evening and happy Earth Day. From the KUOW newsroom, this is Seattle Now. I'm Paige Browning. Here are today's top stories. It's Monday, April 22nd. How's everyone celebrating Earth Day? A lot of people got their hands dirty over the weekend doing restoration work in Seattle. Some folks are inventorying the amount of plastics they buy. More on that theme later in the show. And public officials are marking it by rolling out new environmental commitments. King County says it's going to install more electric vehicle chargers. The county will release details tomorrow about money it's getting from the state. Also tomorrow, Washington State will announce a new rebate program for electric vehicle purchases. Snohomish County is focusing on hard-to-recycle items. Snohomish leaders invite people to an event next weekend to recycle pesky items like styrofoam and tires for free. And the state's big news. More Washington residents could soon get solar power thanks to new funding from the EPA. Casey Martin reports.
The sun was shining bright Monday on Earth Day in Seattle. Perfect conditions for state leaders to announce more than $156 million from the feds to pay for solar projects. Mike Fong is director of the State Department of Commerce. He says the money will help people get solar panels, whether they own a home or rent.
Multifamily affordable housing projects where we'll be able to get solar installed, other energy efficiency upgrades that will make a difference for all the residents in affordable housing.
He says some of the money is for low-income communities and people facing the worst effects of the climate crisis.
There will be dedicated funding to ensure that we reach tribes and residents on reservations to be able to get solar panels installed as well.
Project should launch this fall and winter, according to the EPA. Casey Martin, KUOW News.
The Republican Party convention in Spokane over the weekend was drama-filled. But by the end, they endorsed a candidate for governor. KNKX reporter Scott Greenstone has our story.
Former Richland School Board member Semi Byrd was endorsed by hundreds of Republican delegates at the state convention Saturday.
We have the people's business at hand, saving Washington State and making Washington State great again.
Byrd is controversial, even among Republicans. He was nearly disqualified for not disclosing financial crimes he committed 30 years ago. He's also not the only candidate. Before the vote, former Congressman Dave Reichert, who's far ahead of Byrd in polls and fundraising, withdrew from the endorsement process.
I just became disheartened in the disjointed party factions, and just decided it wasn't worth going through a deceptive process. I really don't need their endorsement.
Voters will still have their say in the August primary. I'm Scott Greenstone in Spokane.
Recently fired Google workers held a news conference today demanding that the company cut ties with the Israeli military. Israel's a customer of Google's cloud business, much of which is based in Seattle. Monica Nicholsberg reports.
Until a few days ago, Iman Hassim worked as a Google cloud engineer in Seattle. She said she was fired for protesting Google's contracts with the Israeli military.
Being an engineer on infrastructure, you are responsible for the streamlining of your customers' tech. So if I hear that my labor for cloud infrastructure is being used to streamline genocide reliably, that doesn't sound like it should align with any kind of principles, whether that be AI principles or any moral principles in engineering.
Hassim is one of 28 workers who say they were fired for protesting. Google didn't respond to our questions, but in a blog post, CEO Sundar Pichai said Google won't tolerate disruptions that distract employees or make them feel unsafe. Monica Nicholsberg, KUOW News.
To the U.S. Supreme Court. As we reported this morning, a case about homelessness from Grants Pass, Oregon, was argued today. The court's expected to rule before the term ends in June. Jefferson Public Radio's Jane Vaughn has our story.
The question before the Supreme Court is whether it's cruel and unusual punishment for the city to enforce its public camping laws through tickets and fines when there aren't enough shelter options. The city argues that people are being punished for violating public camping laws, not simply for being homeless. But Justice Elena Kagan said the city's ordinances do seem to be punishing homeless people simply for having no other place to sleep.
And your statute says that person cannot take himself and himself only and can't take a blanket and sleep someplace without it being a crime.
The court's decision in this case could have national implications for how cities could regulate public camping laws. I'm Jane Vaughn reporting.
This year's Earth Week theme is planet versus plastics. And on that theme, we're taking a closer look at plastic bags. Washington has fees on plastic bags in stores, intended to get shoppers to bring their own totes while shopping. But a new study finds that behavior is hard to change. Ruby DeLuna reports.
A study by a coalition of conservation groups found a loophole that allowed stores to replace thinner, single-use bags with thicker ones for a fee. The idea was the thicker ones could be used multiple times. But in reality, many people tend to use those bags just once. Pam Clough is with Environment Washington, one of the groups that analyze plastic bag bans across the country.
The 8-cent fee is, for some people, it might dissuade them, but I think for a lot of other folks, 8 cents per bag doesn't seem like a lot, and so it might not be enough.
Clough hopes the bag fee, scheduled to go up to 12 cents in 2026, will have more impact. Ruby DeLuna, KUOW News.
Prosecutors have decided to charge 6 protesters for their role in shutting down Interstate 5 back in January. Hundreds of people took to I-5 to protest against the war between Israel and Hamas. King County prosecutors are charging 5 of them with criminal trespass and disorderly conduct, and a 6th with just disorderly conduct. These are misdemeanors. This is separate from the pro-Palestinian protest last Monday in which people closed down the road into SeaTac Airport. 46 people were arrested in that incident and charged with failure to disperse. To our race and equity beat, there's a call out this week for more Indigenous people to join talks about the history of Native American boarding schools in Washington. A task force focused on the topic meets tomorrow. Gustavo Sugrero reports.
Lawyers, cultural preservation officers, and survivors of these schools are invited to join the virtual meetings. Deborah Parker is the CEO of the National Native American Boarding School Healing Coalition and a member of the Tulalip Tribes. She says that last group, the survivors, are paramount because of their age.
Their testimonies are extremely critical to get right now and to help support those who have survived some of the most atrocious moments of their lives in their childhood.
At their foundation, these schools were meant to assimilate Indigenous kids into Catholic, Christian, Western traditions. The 3 groups will form new committees to inform how the task force will move forward. Gustavo Sagredo, KUOW News.
And some music news before we go. Congrats to Seattleite Dave Matthews. The Dave Matthews Band will be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame this year. The 2024 class also includes Cher, Ozzy Osbourne, Peter Frampton, Mary J. Blige, Kool & the Gang, Foreigner, and A Tribe Called Quest. The ceremony's in October, about a month after Dave's annual Labor Day weekend at the Gorge. Next time on Seattle Now, more and more people are reading digital books. The Seattle Public Library says it's a good thing, but it's complicated.
My fear is that ebook licenses that currently exist turn libraries into Netflix and Hulu. We don't own anything. We have to continually pay for it and can go away at a moment's notice.
That's Tuesday morning on the podcast with host Patricia Murphy. And that's a wrap from the KUOW Newsroom in Seattle. Our producer's Andy Hurst, and I'm Paige Browning. Seattle Now and KUOW are members of the NPR network. See ya!
Seattle in the 90s. A tidal wave of iconic music roars out of this sleepy city and launches a pop culture revolution. Here's a story you haven't heard. Let the Kids Dance is a new podcast about the rise and fall of Seattle's teen dance ordinance, the law that made it illegal for young people to go to concerts. A story of moral panic, grassroots activism, and an unstoppable music community that fought for its freedom. Listen to Let the Kids Dance from KUOW and the NPR Network.